Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me.
You called for a bettering of the August high last year with the market holding up. Should the Fed begin to cut? And do you see that for being the recipe for a soft landing?
No. yes, it did call for the bettering of the August high. That's obviously still, that upswing is still intact. And the Fed, they did meet yesterday, and there is talk, and I saw talk this morning about people speculating about when the Fed's going to cut. And the talk of the soft landing's been going on now for a couple of months. But no, I definitely do not see this as a recipe for a soft landing.
So how hard are we going to hit?
Well, the potential, I think, hard. This is all part of the setting up, if you will, or the downturn out of this long-term sixth economic cycle that I've identified, and the unraveling of the bubble. This has been fueled by, 20 years of debt creation, all in the name of money printing. It's a process, and COVID in effect was a tool to reinflate, for the third time. It was a tool to reinflate, and now those efforts they're waning. I think they've pretty much run their course. And, we did not have the proper setup in my world, structurally at the August high, and we needed to see, with that being in place. I mean, it was by default, it meant that we should see higher prices, and again, that advance is still intact. And now I think with the August high bettered, we can see the setup for this higher degree top into what I think will result into a hard landing in spite of the talk of a soft landing, and in spite of the rate cuts that I think are inevitable. Yes, I do think they're going to be cutting rates, and probably, I don't know when. I have some tools to help me, see that as we get closer, but basically they follow the three-month T-bill, and while the longer-term yields have all turned down significantly, the three-month T-bill yield has not, and that's why they haven't cut yet. So the three-month T-bill yield, as it starts to turn down, we'll see the rate cuts. And, if I had to guess, I would say probably, March, April, I would think we should be in a window where we've seen at least one cut, I would think, by that time. But again, the three-month T-bill yield is our guide. It's my guide. Yeah, go ahead.
Why are people hanging so much on this rate cut? Because we know when rate cuts start to happen, it usually means the economy's in trouble. Why would you want the economy to be in trouble?
Everybody perceives it as the Fed being accommodative. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's the damnedest thing. but people see it as being accommodative, and they front run this all along, saying that it was a soft landing, and I just don't see it.
So where are we now with the equity market, and how does that relate to your long-term economic cycle?
Well, again, we had an intermediate term high in August without the proper setup to cap it. So I knew that the decline into the intermediate term low, which bottomed in late October, was a counter trend, and that we should go higher, and we did again. And now we've bettered that high, and you know, we've gotten the Santa Claus rally behind us, and here we are. We're sitting at or near what should be another intermediate term top. And obviously, by definition, if we're at or near an intermediate term top, we should turn down. And I think that there is an intermediate term low ahead, probably in the March, April time frame. And then from there, again, I think there's more strength. I don't think this thing is done yet. I look for it to carry us up at least another intermediate term cycle into the summer. And then if I see the things that I need to see to, to cap equities with the right structure and my DNA markers and the setting up of this long-term economic cycle, then I think that's going to be a tremendous opportunity for quite a shocking downturn. But we got to get there, and I got to see how it sets up. So it's a process that I have to watch and monitor, and that's part of what I'm doing, or that is what I'm doing. That is my sole focus at this point in the research letter. It's not just a top in the market or following this thing until we following it into a four-year cycle top. It goes far beyond that, because I think this top, once the structure is in place for to cap the top with equities, I think it goes beyond that, and that it's also going to be in conjunction with the setting up of this long-term economic cycle.
If you're right about this long-term economic cycle, what do you think it will look like, the decline out of the cycle?
Everybody's forgotten about it, but the dot-com bubble was a downturn out of the fifth long-term economic cycle, and everybody's forgotten that pain. It's water under the bridge, means nothing anymore. The upturn that was fueled by the Fed's intervention and their efforts to, as they said at the time, bridge the gap, coming out of the 02 low and pushed equities into the most extended four-year cycle in the history of the Dow Jones Industrials, going back to 1896, into the 2000s. That was into the 2000 association with the advance into the 2007 top. That resulted in the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression and the bursting of the real estate bubble at the time. That means nothing. Everybody's forgotten about that. But that was an attempt to turn down out of this long-term economic cycle. And then, of course, the efforts from there with the QE and all the stimulus to fight the deflationary forces and push it higher into the 2020 top. And then, again, that was an attempted downturn out of this long-term economic cycle. And they saved it again. And now here we are as a result of, all the stimulus spending and reinflation efforts and so forth that we've seen following the 2020 low with, it feels the pain from the inflation and so forth. But those reinflation efforts are now waning. They are, they basically have run their course, which is in part what we're seeing with this downturn in interest rates. That's the canary in the coal mine, if you will. And when we turn down, I just described 2000, 07, and 2020, those were attempted downturns. So we face something like that, but worse, because the question is, can they intervene and save it again? I mean, is this going to be the real unwinding of not only the bubble, but the downturn out of this long-term economic cycle? Or, are they going to manage to save the thing and make another 09 or 2020 low out of it? you know, that's the $64,000 question, as they say. Who knows? You know, it's just, I don't know. But I think the potential is there that it can't be saved again and that we see a real unraveling. That's the danger.
When do you see this happening?
Again, it's a process that, you know, I feel like, a roadmap to watch, understanding the process and being able to look back and study the process with these other attempted downturns. I feel like I have the tools to monitor this as we get there. But at this point, if I had to say, I would say sometime in the summer, maybe even late summer. But again, that's my focus with the research in my research letter. And it'll be my, you know, the things that, you know, this is pretty much exclusively what I'm watching at this point is the progression to that point, or lack thereof. I mean, maybe it doesn't set up, but I think we're on the road to such setup. And again, every one of these setups are a little different, but they have some common denominators. And so that's what I'm watching. And until we get there and all the boxes are checked, you know, I think that any downside, such as a decline here out of the intermediate term top, is counter trend, and this market's going to continue to hang on and fool people.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, will gold be a safe haven if we hit this economic wall?
You know, nobody wants to hear this, but in the environment that I'm talking about, it's massively deflationary. You know, and that's what the Fed has been fighting. That's the thing that's the essence of it all. It's like Richard Russell used to say, he had the phrase inflate or die. And, you know, that's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing for 20 years, 21 years now. And, if we go into that kind of deflationary environment, I do not see gold doing well. Now, I mean, I know this is not what people want to hear. It doesn't say sounds contrary to popular belief. I get all that, but the dollar will be king, I think. I mean, if you look back, even in 08, 09, I realized that gold pushed higher, commodities pushed higher into 08, but ultimately they cracked. And now I see an even higher degree set up with commodities going on, and I think with gold. And so I see it being deflationary to all commodities, including gold. And I know no one wants to hear that, but that's what I see. And if you study previous deflationary environments, the dollar tends to be is king. It doesn't tend to be, it is king. So, you know, everybody's talking about the demise of the dollar and all that. I understand that too. And maybe that'll prove to be the case, but not yet. Not yet. Not until we get through this. I think in the deflation, it'll be the dollar.
And what's going to be the story for the dollar?
Ultimately, I don't know. I know there's this push for the CDBC, but I don't think the dollar is going away. Maybe we have a digital dollar now. If you think about it, it's just not central bank digital dollar. I mean, it's a digital dollar. I mean, your money in the bank is digital. I mean, go try to get it. You know, as they say, I mean, we operate on a fractional reserve system. And, I mean, you can get your money, I guess, if you go tell them you want it. But it's not, you know what I'm saying? We operate on it in a digital, it's a digital currency now. So, on one hand, I dismiss all the hype about that. The only thing I see with the CDBC is that it may possibly cut the banks out and just be, you know, with the Federal Reserve. And I'm not saying I agree with it, because I don't think it should be mandatory. I think I like the idea of people being able to have dollar bills in their pocket and pay for things with cash or however they want to. So I'm not saying I agree with it, but my thinking is the dollar is not going to go anywhere. I don't know that I believe that it's going to lose its reserve status. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Don't know, really don't care, but I don't believe that. I'm just saying we do have, in effect, if you think about it, a digital dollar today.
What will interest rates do in this environment?
Interest rates are going to go lower, no question about it. I think that, and that's what we're trying to see now with interest rates turning down, or trying to turn down. And the longer-term stuff has turned down.
Are oil prices going to remain low?
I think so. I think with commodities, I think, you know, in a deflationary environment, all commodity prices should be under pressure. The one exception I could see there is because of the scarcity. You know, perhaps there's some inflationary pockets simply because you can't get things. So if it's bad enough and I can see where maybe there's distribution problems and that sort of thing, then maybe there's some pockets of inflation because of the supply chain. But I think overall commodity prices are going to be depressed, and again, including oil.
Now, uranium has been super hot as more nuclear reactors are being put back online, and also two of the three proposed designs for modular small reactors have been approved in the U.S. Do you see maybe uranium resisting any big price drop?
I do not follow uranium. I can't say. I don't know. I would think, my off the cuff, I would think that in such deflationary environment that it would be under pressure as well. But I'm not looking at uranium, so I can't have an educated opinion other than, you know, my natural assumption and, you know, of what I would expect in a deflationary environment.
So much reliance now is going to be placed on AI with all these high-tech companies laying off people. I guess they expect the computers to replace them. What happens when AI decides, I'm not going to do that anymore, it's boring?
Who knows? I don't know. Again, that's out of my wheelhouse with AI. I honestly have not looked at it, considered it, or, you know, I just I've basically ignored this whole AI thing. I don't know.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
No, that's pretty much it. I think the most important thing is on the horizon is, you know, we've been talking about, this bubble environment for forever. And, you know, in understanding these long-term economic cycles, it has been an effort to reinflate and hold the global financial system together. That's the essence of this bubble environment we're in. And like I said, the most important thing as we move into this year is the peaking of this 4-year cycle top in equities, and then it coinciding with the peaking of this long term economic cycle. And if that all comes together, another storm here, if I digress for a minute, you know, this is all looks like it's setting up to occur in conjunction with the election in the U.S. this year, and it could potentially be the perfect storm. So I don't know how it's going to pan out. I just follow the charts and look for the setup. And once that's in place, then I think we're literally going to be on thin ice, and anything could happen. You know, so we'll take it one step at a time.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
You're welcome.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.